Would you turn with me tonight to the book of Malachi again as we continue our study of this great book found in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 1. And tonight I'd like to read the first five verses and then look particularly at verse 5. It's so good to be here, and we're glad for each one that's here. And again, Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, said the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. One translation puts this verse in these words. When you see the destruction for yourselves, you will say, truly, the Lord's greatness reaches far beyond Israel's borders. The Lord will be magnified by this kindness to Israel and his judgments beyond. And we'll look at that in our second part of our lesson tonight. But we notice in this first part, that your eyes shall see. There is much said in the scripture about sight, or the lack of it. Physical sight is so wonderful, and we do not have words for it. And those who have physical sight find it hard to comprehend the experience of those who do not. Physical sight was not lost in the garden in the fall. Spiritual sight was lost. And once again, we want to say, what a curse is upon natural man's heart and mind and senses. Sight is such a blessing, yet spiritual sight, spiritual seeing the Lord, is a blessing grace alone gives. No human words, works, wisdom, or worry can produce spiritual sight in ourselves or in anyone else. Only God can do this. Isaiah, in the wonderful sixth chapter, is moved upon by the Holy Spirit to declare and record God and the sight of Him. Would you join me in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, as we see this wonderful passage of scripture that God gave us through this pastor, through this preacher, through this prophet about having sight given to us. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. There is no surpassing that blessing that Isaiah was blessed with, and that is to see God. There is no blessing that is greater than that. Upon seeing, Isaiah heard something unknown to natural man, and that is holy, holy, holy. Natural man's heart, in his mind, in his acts, in his deeds, there is nothing holy about him. We are unholy in our acts, in our words, in our thoughts, our deeds. Our heart is unholy before God. But we hear these great beings of God cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The attribute of attributes is declared in every direction as we hear it cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And the prophet's reaction is absolutely contrary to what religion teaches about what we should do when we are quote-unquote saved. The book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that when Isaiah saw the Lord, something took place in his heart, in his mind, and he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The prophet's reaction is not taught in religion. The prophet's reaction is given by the Holy Spirit. To see God allows us, in a microcosm at least, to see ourselves, "Woe is me." Christ is the measure. He is the Holy One. We are only made holy in the holiness of Christ. The Lord gives his commission to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." They will not see, and they will not hear. It's amazing to me to hear the Lord God Almighty commission Isaiah the prophet to preach and to preach the gospel and to preach Christ and to preach the salvation alone is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And he asked how long in verse 11, and he answered, "Until the cities be wasted, it will never change." This will never be altered. The message, the gospel, the message of Christ will never, ever be altered from God's part. Now it's being manipulated and altered, and it always has been in religion, and we see it about us. We even practiced that before the Lord saved us. But the Lord says, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land is utterly desolate. That is how long this gospel is to be preached. In other words, till the end. Don't change it, don't alter it. Now those alone that have seen the Lord, those alone who have seen God, those are the ones that receive this commission, that the gospel is the only thing that will ever save anybody, and I'm going to send you out among a people that will not hear it. They will not see me. It is God's purpose that they will not see him in anything except in revelation. They will not see him in man's works. They will not see him in man's holiness, man's doings, man's interests, man's anything. But they will see the Lord only as the Lord reveals himself to them. Now this particular verse here in Isaiah chapter 6 verses 9 and 10, these two verses, this passage is quoted at least six times in the New Testament. Once in Matthew chapter 13, once in Mark chapter 4, once in Luke chapter 8, once in John chapter 12, once in Acts chapter 28. But I would like us to turn to the last one found in the book of Romans chapter 11, and there in verse 8. Romans 11 and verse 8. We have this passage of scripture quoted in the New Testament no less than six times, and here in Romans chapter 11, and verse 8, we have the last one, and it says, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. The eyes of Israel shall see, the eyes of Esau never. The eyes of the sheep shall see, the eyes of the goats never. And the Lord brings this up multiple times in the New Testament, but one that really speaks to this point is found in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and there in verse 23. Luke chapter 10 and verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Isaiah could say that. The Lord could be speaking to Isaiah in this passage of Scripture. The Lord could be speaking unto Abel in this passage of Scripture. The Lord could be speaking unto Moses, Noah. The Lord could be speaking unto David. The Lord could be speaking unto Samuel. The Lord could be speaking unto Peter, James, or John. The Lord could be speaking unto you if you have heard this message. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What a spiritual blessing that God would grant to anyone, and that is to see God Almighty. For I tell you, verse 24 of Luke chapter 10, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Insinuating, these have seen, and they have seen, and they have heard, and they have heard. The scriptures are filled with this thought of spiritual sight. Once again, in the book of John, chapter 8, John chapter 8, John chapter 8 and verse 56, we have these words about Abraham. John chapter 8 and verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. There in the book of Malachi, it talks about sight. They're going to see something. As it says, your eyes shall see, and ye shall say. Now, your eyes shall see. Spiritual Israel, the church, the sheep shall see. They'll see that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. They'll see that. They shall see the Lord. They shall see the Lord and be as our brother over there that said, I saw the Lord and I am not dead. My goodness, to see the Lord and be in the land of the living, to be with Christ. A brother in the scriptures, in the book of Luke chapter 2. I just think about this sometimes, just meditate upon it, ruminate upon it. And here is a man by the name of Simeon. And Simeon had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, it's there. We recognize and we understand that Simeon had seen the Lord spiritually before he came and saw him this day. He is a believer. The Holy Spirit's revealed unto him these things. But he's also revealed unto him that he'd see the Lord, as we read here in the book of Luke chapter 10. Excuse me, Luke chapter 2. I'll get this right here pretty soon. Luke chapter 2 and verse 28. He said that Simeon came in where the Lord was, where he had been brought by Mary and Joseph into the temple. They brought him in to do after the custom of the law, verse 27. And Simeon then took him, the Lord, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Not long ago we had a brother speak for us here in the Dalles, and he brought up the fact and restated and reassured and whatever, as we hear the scriptures taught about God's people, and said that the church here is the Lord's church. It's not our church, it's the Lord's church. Well, we see that come through the words of Simeon as it's written in the scriptures. And here he says, I've seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He never says, I've seen my salvation. He says, I've seen thy salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. He gives it to whomsoever he will, wherever he will, however he will, but it's still his salvation. We don't get saved. God saves his people from their sins. Simeon tells all, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This one in his arms was all salvation from beginning to end. This is the one that Jonah spoke of. This is the one that David spoke of in his last words. This is all my salvation. This is all my hope. This is the Lord. But Simeon gives us an insight. Mine eyes have seen him. Now, we don't have to see the things that took place in the Bible to believe them. The Holy Spirit reveals. If we read about the Lord Jesus there by the sea, calming the sea, we don't have to go out somewhere and see that happen. We, by faith, believe it just as if we were standing right beside him when he calmed the sea. We don't have to see someone physically turn water to wine. When we read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe just as if we had been there with the disciples when it happened. We are just as gladdened. We are just as rejoicing to read these things as those people were when they saw them. We didn't have to be there when he was crucified and hear him say, it's finished. When we read the scriptures and those words are brought to our attention as we read, we rejoice in them just as if we were standing there and got to hear them with our own ears. We don't have to be there when the tomb was opened. My, the immigration or migration of folks to go over there. And boy, they got to see the place where he lay. They got to go to Golgotha. They got to go to the Jordan River. If they had faith, they could read it and believe it, and that would be just sufficient. My goodness, the Lord has allowed his people to see him from afar, just as clear, as crystal, as if we were standing right there hearing his blessed words. If they will not believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe though one rose from the dead. So the Holy Spirit reveals the truths that are there, and when he allows us to see the Lord Jesus in a spiritual context, a spiritual blessing, it's just as absolutely as sure as when it happened at that very moment. As we look again into the scriptures, we look here into the scriptures, we find that these thoughts are brought about so often that they are part of the scripture to be able to see the Lord. Now, as we're looking at this passage of scripture here in the book of Malachi, we find that there's a second thing that we would like to examine in this passage we're looking at tonight, and that is found there again in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 5. And it shares with us in that passage of Scripture, just as it has all the way down through this first chapter, these first few verses that we've looked at, that the Lord has made such a difference. He put such a difference between Jacob and Esau. God has truly made a difference between Jacob and Esau, Israel and Edom. He's made a difference before the two sons ever did, before the one was upset with the other. The Lord had made a difference. He made a difference before the foundation of the world. He made a difference in that he had Jacob's name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but he did not have Esau's name written down. He made a difference in coming with grace to Jacob, but never saving grace to Esau. Esau got to have rain, and Esau got to have the sunshine, just as he does to all the world. But Jacob got to know the Son of God. Jacob got to have the rain from heaven, and Esau did not. God made the difference. Now, last Sunday, we read in our study of Ezra a verse of scripture in the book of Exodus, chapter 11. I'd like to read that tonight. Exodus chapter 11. The Lord made a difference. It's the Lord that does make a difference. In the book of Exodus, chapter 11, and there in verse 7, we read this, but I'd like to read it tonight. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Did you notice that with me? That ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, he was going to demonstrate this with the dog, and his voice would not speak against a man or beast that was of Israel, that God would show the difference. Now, God has shown the difference between Jacob's and Esau's. God has shown the difference between Israel and Edom. God has shown the difference here between Israel and Egypt. All words, synonymous words that we find recorded in the scriptures. Now, someone might say right here, and we find that the Apostle Paul was led by the Spirit to head that thought off. If we have this thought that that's not fair, the Apostle Paul was used by the Holy Spirit to head that off. If you know Christ, that's not going to be an issue. Because the scripture says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 14, is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Don't make God what we feel from a human standpoint. Leave him in his exalted position, able to do all that he has purposed to do. And he's the one that has made a difference. Now, that there's a word in that verse of scripture, a Hebrew word that's been translated, doth put a difference. And this word is used 6 times in the Old Testament, and this is one of them. But there's been one used already earlier in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus chapter 9, if we back up there just a little bit, we find the same word is used there, Exodus chapter 9, and it shares with us again that God makes a difference. He made a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. He made a difference between Jacob and Esau. Jacob would be preserved. Esau will be done away. Jacob will be preserved not for his own works or not because of his own actions or not because of his own goodness, for we find before they had done any good or evil. God, according to election, that it might stand, said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Is there unrighteousness with God? I pray that in your mind you're not thinking that's unfair, because God does things far above our realm of thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts, he said, and my ways are not your ways. So let's just leave God alone with his purpose and let him do as he pleases to do, and let us sit here and praise him as God Almighty, that he has been gracious enough to open our eyes that we might see his salvation. In the book of Exodus chapter 9 and verse 4, the scriptures tell us here, the Lord says, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die at all that is of the children of Israel. God has truly made a difference. Even during these plagues, he said, there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. I will sever. The word sever is that same word there. I will make a difference. I will make a difference between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There's going to be death among the Egyptian cattle. There will be no death among the Israeli cattle. What God has made a difference, and that you might know this. This is so important that you might know this. The Lord shall sever between. And then once again, in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 33, we find the same word used, translated a little bit different. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 16, that God makes a difference. He made a difference there in the book of Malachi. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. I'll protect you. I will not protect him. Jacob's do not build their own building. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labor in vain. So it must be the Lord's house. It must be the Lord's building. We are just his workmanship. So here in the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and verse 16, for therein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses brings this up and says, these people, thy people, shall be separated from all the peoples that are on the face of the earth. Truly, these words are God's word to us. I will make a difference. It will be different. I will show mercy upon whom I'll show mercy. I'll show grace upon whom I'll show grace. I will love whom I choose to love. And we love him because he first loved us. So he's going to make a difference. And he has made a difference. And it is so evident throughout the scriptures. And it's brought out here three times in the book of Exodus. I will sever. I will separate. I will make a difference between Egypt and Israel. I'll make a difference between Egypt's cattle and Israel's cattle. And everybody will know that I've made a difference. I've separated the people of God from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, in type and shadow, this Israel was made different than all of the other nations of the world, but they, in their heart, were just like everybody else, most of them for fact, for they all died in unbelief. Those who died in the wilderness died in unbelief. But they are a picture of the church of the living God, and they are separated. They're made separated. They're put in their place, just like during the time when God separated the nations. He separated his people out of all people. In the book of Psalms, in the fourth psalm, Psalm 4, verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now, they're not godly by nature, but he's made them that. They're not holy by nature, but he's made them that. They're not sanctified by nature, but he's made them that. They're not born again by nature, but he's made them that. The Lord hath set apart him that is godly. God has made them godly, and he's set them apart for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. What a blessing we have been given to us as we've been called unto Christ. We've been called out of this world. We've been called from darkness to light. We've been blessed in such a way. He said, those separated people, when they cry, I'll hear them. I'll hear their prayer. I'll deal with it. What a blessing God has given us as he makes it known that he has a separate people. He has done the separating. It belongs to him, and he will do with them as he sees fit and according to his eternal purpose. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 17, we have another time this particular word is used, this Hebrew word translated in various ways. And here in Psalm 17 and verse 7, it says, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand, them which put their trust in thee, for those that rise up against them. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. Now that word loving kindness is the same word, and it is insinuated in this word, in this passage of Scripture, that loving kindness has been given out not by right, but by grace. It's not inherited by works. It is given because of grace. It's been given because of Christ. If God has shown loving kindness, He has shown it on purpose. He has separated a people out. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have been thought of and purposed of in the everlasting covenant of grace. And in time, those He has loving kindness for will hear the gospel and be brought out of this world unto Christ. And they will see Him as Isaiah saw Him. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He never reveals a little God. He never reveals a base God. He never reveals an insignificant, a manipulated God. God always shows a great God. That's who He is. And when He reveals Himself as the great God, high and lifted up, holy, holy, holy. Oh, what a blessing it is that God grants to a people that they might know this great God. In that Psalms, again, there is one other place, and it's very interesting when I read this and saw that this particular word is used here in a verse that is so often thought of, and probably rightly so, but let's carry it just a little bit further, and that's Psalm 139 and verse 14. Psalm 139 and verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We often have been shared, and it's been brought to our attention, and we think about it at times, that truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a marvel how all of our system works together, how some electro impulses in our brain allow us to see, smell, touch. All of our senses work off of this material that's in our skull. Our heart pumps blood. We breathe in air, oxygen in and out. All of those marvelous systems. We can even walk. What a miracle. We can pick up a penny with our fingers. What a miracle. Millions of dollars of research has gone in just to replace an elbow or a shoulder or a knee. And they don't work near as well as the original. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But if we keep it in the context that we found that God's going to make a difference, or He's going to have a separate people out of the world, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That truly shares with us that we will not have spiritual life unless God purposes it. We'll not grow into it, we'll not study into it, we'll not be shown it by some preacher or some Sunday school teacher. We'll not hear a message or read a tract and that's going to do it. It has to be done by God. He's the one that makes us. And it is fearfully and wonderfully made. It's according to His purpose. He saves us. By His grace, He saves us. By His mercy, He saves us. So we are fearfully. And it indicates, it shares with us in this very word that's used there, that there's a separation. I don't do this for everybody. I'll do it for my elect. I don't do it for everybody. I will not do it for Esau's. I will do it for Jacob's. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When God said that we must be born again, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. When our eyes get to see God, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's not anything that we have done. He is the Creator. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So this wonderful blessing that God makes between Jacob's and Esau's, not only do we get to see, but He's made a difference. He's shown us through the Scriptures time and time again. And here in the book of Malachi, your eyes shall see, what a blessing, and ye shall say, the Lord be magnified from border of Israel, from the border of Israel. The Lord's greatness reaches far beyond Israel's borders. He will show us here, even here, that I make a difference. If you know Christ, He's made a difference. We didn't make it ourselves. If you've seen Christ, He's made a difference. If you hear Christ, He's made a difference. If you think of Christ in a way that you'd never thought of before, He's made the difference. So as we conclude tonight, physical sight is wonderful, but spiritual sight is far greater. And then to realize over and over, it's not according to our works, but according to His mercy, He saves us. We're His workmanship. We're His works. We're His doing. And He has revealed unto us the Son of God, God the Son, the glorious one, the one that is high and lifted up, the one that the angels say, holy, holy, holy. And we realize that He is holy. He's the only one that can impute to us, give to us the rich blessings of grace. We're sinners by nature, we're sinners by practice, and we're sinners by choice. But the Lord Jesus Christ has made a difference. And He has taken away our sin. And He has imputed to us His righteousness. And we, the church, say, Amen.